We have 29 members present. That is a quorum. 29, that must be some... Supervisor Flood is logged in.
Did I log her out?
Yes, please. So now we have 28. So much for the portent to the future on that number. I'm going to ask that we hear from supervisors who might have conference reports or announcements before we do the recognition of outgoing supervisors. Are there any conference reports or meeting reports? Supervisor Cruz.
Thank you. I attended the Health Summit 2012 at WTC. It was the La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium that put this together. And the meeting brought together stakeholders in medical and mental health from across the area to address community issues relating to the common goal of making La Crosse County the healthiest county in Wisconsin by 2015. It was divided into four broad issue groups: chronic disease, injury and violence, mental health, and infectious diseases. The speaker was John McKnight of Northwestern University Institute for Policy Research, and he had a few simple but powerful observations for affecting positive changes in the community. Amongst them were that assets are the basic building blocks of community. Making community changes means connecting those assets. Connecting assets requires facilitators and connectors. And with reduced funding at the federal and state levels, a vacuum has been created, and institutions are taking over more of the functions that were formerly performed by government. This requires that new connections are made and that we push for mobilizing people into action and making people see themselves as principal producers. And the focus in this endeavor is engaging people rather than partnering. And he indicated that this was a subtle difference. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, you know, the difference between partnering and engaging. But thought-provoking. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Cruz. Any other conference reports or meetings? Supervisor Billings.
This month I was at a bill signing. On the topic, Granddad's Bluff, the governor was in town, and I do not mention this as self-promotion. I mention this to promote our highway commissioner, Ron Chamberlain, because I do not think that that bill would have existed without his energy and his great ideas. And I think from the time that we hired him, he's always been searching for ways to capture dollars for our area for roads, and has thought of better ways of doing things as a tradition of many department heads in La Crosse County. And he was down in Madison twice to testify on behalf of that bill, and was always energy behind the next step, what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next. And so I would like to give him credit.
Congratulations, Commissioner Chamberlain. Thank you, Supervisor Billings. Supervisor Doyle.
I don't want to self-promote myself either, like Representative Billings didn't, so I'd just like to say that I was the county board chair when we hired Ron.
Okay. Everybody wants a piece of this action. Supervisor Mettinger, don't self-promote whatever you do.
No, I'm going to try and save the county some money. From lawyers, actually, so. Oh. I haven't given a conference report in 6 years as a county supervisor, so it's probably time I do one. This afternoon I was at a thing at the Mayo Clinic Healthcare in Marycrest Auditorium on civil rights for people in healthcare institutions, particularly those who are non-English speaking. There was a situation, not with one of our long-term care facilities, but one in West Salem, where they had a Hmong resident and didn't provide, allegedly, enough accommodations for their limited English speaking as a resident. And you can open yourself up to all kinds of litigation in that area if you don't do that. Anyway, I went to that conference this afternoon, and it caused me to think about other areas too, like human services. If we don't make sure that we take care of a growing Hispanic population, maybe even in our law enforcement system. So just a heads up that this is an area that potentially could expose the county to some liability if we do not make sure that non-English speaking or limited English speaking people have access to understand what they're going through.
Great. Thank you for that, Supervisor Mettinger. Any other conference reports or meeting reports or self-promotion? If not, I'm going to move over to the podium and take a moment to recognize our retiring and outgoing supervisors. And I would ask that Supervisor Doyle join me at the podium since he was chair of this body for many years, especially during the terms of several folks who are retiring as of tonight. And then also offer the opportunity to those of you who are outgoing supervisors to say a few words if you are interested. And I have a couple of things that I want to say as well. But we'll go through each person in no particular order, I think. But Supervisor Doyle, if you would be kind enough to join me at the podium. He's going to get dressed up for this. Put his jacket on. We have a lovely plaque for each of the outgoing supervisors. And with your indulgence, I do want to just say a couple of things. Even though there are a few of the outgoing supervisors who weren't able to be here tonight, just to remind us of their service. And I'm going to start with this little factoid that nearly 2/3 of La Crosse County's 300,000 acres. Are agricultural land. Don't know if everybody knew that. And since 1992, Don Bina has been the voice of farmers on the county board. I know I haven't always been the most attentive listener to Don's messages, but he was always willing to share the message and the value of the importance of agriculture to our county, to our state, and to our nation. He stepped up to serve on the Ag Board. He served on the Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee. He tirelessly promoted the merits of 4-H and the Interstate Fair to any and all of us who would listen. And during his 20-year tenure on the board, Don proudly and loudly wore the mantle of one of the farmers on this board. So I thank Don Bina for his decades of service to La Crosse County and his tireless and bold representation of agricultural interests. So congratulations to Don. We will make sure Don gets his plaque. Bill Feehan, Supervisor Feehan, joined the board in 2010. You can come on up. As a rookie on the board, Bill was rarely shy about expressing his opinions. He did not wait for the veterans to open a spot on the roster. He fervently and clearly made his presence known on the board from the very first meeting after being sworn in. Of particular importance, I want to note, though, is your work connecting La Crosse County Human Services Administration with then-State Senator Dan Capanke in helping to map a winning strategy to retain economic support, jobs, and services in our community. And for that, we thank you and for all of your service.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Can I have a picture with the children?
Did you want to say anything?
I would like to say just a couple words. As a first-time supervisor, I came here not really knowing very much about how our county government works. And the one thing that I will leave with is a profound respect for each of the people in this room. Because what you do out of love of our community and a genuine sense of service. And I've learned so much from all of you. And it's with some regret that I won't be back to continue the work for our local government. But I thank all of you for the opportunity to get to know you, and I thank you for your service to our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We might have to do photos later.
Can we get a photo? Okay. I don't want to hold it.
Well, perhaps we can do some after the meeting then.
Bill, you can have the box, too.
Supervisor Joe Billings joined the board in 2004. She has done amazing work as a member of the Health and Human Services Board, most recently as chair of the Executive Committee of the Family Policy Board, which has really worked to pull all facets of our community together, focusing attention on the work of programs and services that help especially vulnerable families and children in our community. And she will carry our banner in into the state legislature, ever mindful of the issues that face counties and the vulnerable populations that we represent, we gift to you your experience on this board to carry that banner in and wave it high and wave it often on our behalf down in Madison. Supervisor Billings.
Tonight I'm feeling like I wish I could be a Representative Doyle and do both. I really do. People ask me about Madison and how are things going there and how do you fit there, and I said I have an incredible comfort level there because of the work that was done here and what I've learned from my colleagues here. And the rooms may be bigger and fancier and some of the egos are bigger in Madison, but I've received incredible training here and things that I have learned from everywhere, everyone here. And when budget time comes around, I'm going to be calling Chuck Spiker. I know that. Thank you.
Supervisor Jay, you didn't have enough time, Bill?
I just want to offer that Chris will take a photo of any supervisor that would like it, and we will get that
photo to
you.
Appreciate it very much. Supervisor Jay Johnson joined the board in 2006. She was the inaugural chair of the La Crosse Sustainability Commission. Jay, your thoughtful and passionate efforts to keep green issues top of mind for us as a board have paved the way for what has evolved into a stellar example to other counties. The position of sustainability coordinator, the impressive sustainability annual report we received just a few weeks ago, and the ongoing efforts of the Sustainability Commission are just some of the many legacies that you leave us with, Jay. Thank you very much for your service to La Crosse County.
I think I'm taking far more with me than I've given. It's truly a very enriching experience to serve here for the last 6 years. I wish every citizen could see government from this perspective and realize just how much good local government does. I hope to continue my service on the City Council across the way, and even though we may sometimes disagree or even have competing interests, I always believe that the more bridges we can build between city and county, the better for everyone. So I hope to have an opportunity in the future to continue to build those bridges with you.
She's trying to take my script with her. Can't let that happen. Sorry, Jay. Dennis Manti, who's not able to be with us, joined the county board in 2008. And I like to refer to Dennis as one of the supervisors of few words, but lots of hard work. As the president of the Village of West Salem Board, Dennis set a great example to many others who serve in dual roles on the county board as both a municipal elected official and a county board supervisor. During his time on the board, there were a number of issues related to West Salem matters, in particular Lake Neshonoc and especially the Lakeview Business Park, that required very careful consideration in wearing both hats from the village and the county. And I believe that Dennis wore both of those hats very adroitly and effectively, and La Crosse County is much better for his service on this board. So thank you to Dennis. Supervisor John Mettinger joined the county board in 2006. Boy, I sure hope I have these dates right. I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Your adult life, John, well, hell, your whole life, has been all about public service. From your time in the state legislature, your terms as mayor of the city of La Crosse, your work for our Senator Herb Cole, you have been a fine example to all of us of what it means to serve the public, and you have done it with pride and great accomplishment. I am personally deeply grateful for your time on this body and being able to serve with you. I learned a great deal from you, John, including the importance of wielding a large, loud gavel. I will especially remember John's service as a county board supervisor for his many impassioned floor speeches about issues that mattered most to him. And I will remember fondly your ability, John, to know when most of us had had enough and time was to end debate. So for all of your service to La Crosse County, John, thank you.
Thank you, John. Thanks, John. another first. This is the first time in 6 years I've been at this podium, too, so it's a two firsts tonight. You know, I've been around a long time, but leaving the county board, this is the first time I've ever gotten a pink slip. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know, but think about that. And I'm not going away. I'm just going, all right, because I intend to be politically active my entire life till the day I drop dead. And I will continue to advocate for things that I believe in, and particularly the great city of La Crosse. Though, I'll tell you this, I've been involved in lots of levels of government, and this is a very, very well-run ship. And credit to the administration, credit to the county supervisors, and thank you for allowing me to be one of your colleagues for a little while.
Thank you. Bev Mock, who joined the board in 2008, actually, I'm not sure if everyone realizes this, but Bev's service to La Crosse County began years before she was elected to the county board. She served as a citizen member of probably several different names to it, the 5142 Board, the Community Services Board, the predecessor to what we now know as the Health and Human Services Board. I will remember Bev's service on the county board, including her thorough note-taking. And reporting in great detail on conferences and meetings that she had attended, and not just Human Service Board, not just PR&D committee meetings, but her work on the Historical Sites Commission, Safe Streets, LEED Certification Standards, Solid Waste Policy Board, all of those meetings that Bev would attend and come back and report to us on. In my opinion, Bev, you are the epitome of a lifelong learner. And La Crosse County is so much better for your service to this board. Thank you for your service, Bev.
And, of course, I took some notes before I got here. I'm proud of this county board. Every one of you brings a viewpoint that is worth considering, and this has provided a good balance. The people of La Crosse County are fortunate to have such hardworking and dedicated county employees who give their all. I will truly miss being on this board, working with all of you on the board and with all of the staff. My two terms on the board have been a wonderful educational experience for me. I've gained many friends and acquaintances whom I will really miss. I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to cry, too.
Margaret Wood. Supervisor Wood joined the county board in 2004, and she immediately threw herself into Health and Human Services Board. As a retired school teacher, she too is the epitome of one who studies and learns. And one of the things I will remember most about Margaret is that she actually put together a manual for how to be a good Health and Human Services Board member. That is really the example for, was an example for us, but is also one that I think has been picked up by a number of other counties. I think it's also important to note that Margaret is currently the president of WALDAB, which is the State Association of Local Boards of Health, and has been active at the national level, NALBO as well, which is just another indication of her outstanding and effective advocacy, not only for La Crosse County, but in particular the vulnerable populations and individuals in need. And we will miss you greatly, Margaret, and your dedication and service to La Crosse County. Thank you.
Well, I too will miss this wonderful body. I think it's just been a wonderful time to be part of the county board. But I do believe that citizens should be an active participant if we are going to continue having a democracy in our country. And I think it starts at the local level. And so I think I was doing just what every citizen ought to do. And I really do think that getting involved is the best way to learn. And so I do appreciate all the learning experiences I have had. I've appreciated all the friendships I've made. And I, too, am just in admiration of the wonderful work ethic and the culture of I can do it by our staff. And I really thank you because I think we just really feed off each other. We love to support excellent work, and that's what we've been able to do. So thank you.
Bridget Flood is not able to be here tonight. She joined the board in 2008. And Bridget brought her very unique perspective of a retired La Crosse County juvenile justice worker to her job here on the county board. I believe that that wisdom and experience really was invaluable to all of us and to the work that Bridget did on the county board, and in particular her time on the Judiciary and Law Committee. On a personal note, Bridget was someone who would offer to help and be willing to serve whenever needed. And at one point at the WCA conference in the Dells last year, those WCA gatherings, we just seem to have so many of them, I can't keep track of all of them. But at the WCA meeting, Bridget approached me and said that she was willing to help out if needed and graciously served as La Crosse County's credentialed representative at the annual meeting when I was unable to be there at the time of the annual meeting. And that, to me, really epitomized Bridget's work on this county board, that she was willing to step in and do whatever was needed. So congratulations to Bridget as well. Since 2002, motions to adjourn this meeting will never be the same without you, Jerry. You know that, right? In addition to those, I will also fondly remember a couple of very impassioned floor speeches on the part of Supervisor Jerry Sobranek, who has been here since 2002. In particular, during the debate that we had on the smoke-free dining ordinance many years ago. Your health struggles of late, Jerry, are further reminders to me, and I hope to all of us, of the importance of setting good public policy on matters of public health and all issues that come before this board. In addition, your service to ITVEC and WCA were set you apart from others, and just in general, your terrific sense of humor always made meetings worth coming to, and those amusing send-offs will be missed, as will you, Jerry. Thank you so much for your service to La Crosse County.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I'm going to miss that part.
Doesn't have to end tonight, Jerry.
It's probably going to take more. We'll probably take more. Right? Everybody knows I like to kind of keep everything on the right side, so welcome to Black Night. I'm not going to go on with now, I am going to make a short story long, but I have made some other sacrifices. I gave up the county board for rent. You see, you can't win from losing. Well, I think I blew that out of the H also. The most incredible thing that happened to me while serving on the county board is the hundreds of dedicated people I have met. Meeting the county board certainly creates a lot of friendships. The legislative exchange in Memphis is a good example of that. Very short story. My good friend Ray Ebert's first visit to the exchange, he was talking to a group of people. When he asked me, junior, what do you do? The junior replied, I'm a judge. And he said, oh, circuit or municipal? I said, Ray, if you're in Madison, that's a Supreme Court judge. So, I don't think I've ever seen a shade of red before. Just like that one right there. So that was my first, experience in Madison. I like to think I did my best for 5 to 10 years. It was an experience I soon will forget or regret. I'll miss it for a while. But when the one door closes, another door opens. Seriously, everybody here is a winner. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here. Some are moving in, some are staying. It happens every 2 years. I'd say in 2 years, most all of them will be gone. There'll be no faces here, except for a few like
Ralph.
36 years. Mr. Bell, 20 some years. Charlie Spiker, 20 some years. a good friend, Roger Pleshoff, Don Boone. I think these people, I don't know how they do it year after year. They never give up on the county board. People are going to ask me now, what are you going to do with all your free time? And I say to them, that's because I have free time because that's how I did it right the first time. And whenever I ran for the board, I would ask little children, what do you want to do when you grow up? That's because I was looking for ideas. So the best advice I can give is to you is to remember, success is a lousy teacher. It seduces smart people into thinking they can't lose. So when you think you have it rough and tough and bad, read a history book. I just never like to say goodbye. It's too final. So I'll just say, so long, play it forward, steady amidships. Thank you.
Don't forget your
Jerry, thanks. You get to have that.
Keep that. Has your name on it. Nobody else wants it, Jerry. Audrey Cotter joined the county board in 1998 and served until 2006, took a little bit of a hiatus, and came back on again in 2008. So Audrey loved this job so much she was willing to do it twice. I will remember most Audrey's work on the Economic Development Fund and her amazing ability and willingness to ask incredibly tough questions of that group and of us often as well on the county board. Tough questions about what difference policies would make on her beloved city, the city of La Crosse, and the core of the city of La Crosse. For your dedication to the county and also for your dual service in both roles, I know that we will continue to see you across the parking lot, as I like to say. I look forward to working with you in our roles, respective roles, across that parking lot. And please know how much we deeply appreciate your service to La Crosse County for all these years. Audrey Cotter.
And of course, I could not leave without saying something else. But serving on the county board has been a tremendously educational experience. When I first ran for the county board, I have to admit it wasn't all just being giving on my part. I was at a stage of life that I had some transition, and due to that transition, or at least transition, I could not serve on the city council for a year or two. And so I thought, well, heck, I may as well learn what goes on at the county board. It has been a really wonderful and enlightening experience. I've served under three chairs. Jim Urshan had the wisdom to put me on human services, even though it was an area I wasn't sure I was going to particularly enjoy. Learning about human services gave me I think it was the best introduction I could have had to the county board because of the scope of service that is provided to the citizens, of the needs of those citizens who are less fortunate than some of us. And so it was a tremendous learning area. Then I've served on many of the other committees or subcommittees, Extension, Transportation Coordination Council, then, of course, Economic Development. And what I have said all the way along the line is in order for us to be able to serve the people who need the human services, then we have to have economic development. It's the only way that we can generate the income in order for the county to be able to continue to provide those services. And there is such an importance in attitude, having seen the industrial park develop at West Salem. And I have to give a lot of credit to the fact that the county board grew as well from the administrative coordinator situation to the administrator situation. And I think Mr. Doyle deserves a lot of credit for that too, because of steering us through that growth pattern in so that we have ended up with a county board today that I believe is serving the city and the county of La Crosse with objectivity, and particularly the collaboration that has been nurtured over the last several years. It is. I'm glad. I'm not totally leaving. You'll be glad I'm not here to argue and give longer speeches. But it is. I really do look forward. Not being too presumptuous, but with Tara or whoever is chair of it, the next session, and to work very closely together for the best interests of La Crosse County. Because if the city does well, the county will do well also. So thank you all for being part of my circle of friends for this last, 20-something years.
Thank you. We'll see you across the way.
Yeah. I'm glad that Audrey mentioned Jim Ursham as chair that she served under prior to Steve Doyle's election to the chair, because I had written a few things about the last supervisor that we have to recognize tonight. And then, pardon? Who am I missing? Oh, geez, sorry. This will get me in trouble. Oh, it's because it starts with a trivia question. I apologize. Forget I just said that. Trivia question. This is the adult participation method here. Which outgoing supervisor was appointed to the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors in January of 1995 to replace Mike Hipsch? I didn't know that. Joe Bilskemper. I did not realize that. Supervisor Bilskemper has served on this board since January of 1995, and I think of Joe as another of the supervisors of few words, but like E.F. Hutton, when Joe Bilskemper speaks, people listen. My recollection, my fondest memory of Joe on the time that we served together was just actually a few months ago when we debated the concealed carry ordinance in this room. And I can still hear your very passionate words on that issue, taking a stance on that ordinance. And it clearly had an impact, Joe. And you have had an impact for many, many years since 1995. You've served on the Housing Commission. You've served on a number of committees. And even though you have been one of the quiet ones in the back of the room, I want you to know how deeply we appreciate your years of service to La Crosse County. Thank you very much, Supervisor Bilskemper.
Well, I'd like to say I'm going to miss it, but all seriousness aside, it's been a great education for me. I leave here with the utmost respect and admiration for everybody that serves here. I, too, have served for three county board chairs, so it's been a great run. And when I'm out in the community and somebody starts ripping on the county board, I want you to know I'm going to be there and I'm going to be in their face, okay? So carry on, and good luck to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Now you can remember what I said a minute ago about Jim Ursham. The last supervisor that we have to recognize also served under Chair Jim Ursham, and although I had written something to say about Supervisor Arlene Benrood, when I read today's La Crosse Tribune and the wonderful tribute that Jim Ursham wrote, I decided that his words were much more eloquent than my own. So stealing liberally from Jim Ursham, just a couple of highlights from that letter. Arlene Benrood went to Washington 6 consecutive times lobbying for federal funding for the Cameron Street Bridge. It didn't just happen, you know. I like to think that she was the single driving force for this Mississippi River Bridge. She also fought for Amtrak and against the closure of Fort McCoy. He goes on to say many, many more nice things about Arlene. But for me personally, what I find was most important about Jim Ursham's letter today was that Arlene served as the chairwoman of the Wisconsin County Highways Association Conference Study Committee, and she served on the Computer Services Committee, Economic Development Committee, Wisconsin State Steering Committee on Judicial and Public Safety, the Hidden Valley Board, the Winding Rivers Library Board System Board, the Shamrock Club, and is a past member of the Chamber of Commerce. And of all of those accomplishments, I want to say to you, Arlene Benrood, thank you very much for your service and for paving the way for females in leadership positions, not just on the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, but within the many structures that counties are involved in around this state. So thank you so much for your dedicated service to La Crosse County, Arlene Benrood.
Oh, a plaque.
Yeah, you deserve it.
I guess Jerry said everything that I wanted to say. Thank you, Jerry. And also, when I ran for this position again this time, I really wanted to win and get back on the board. And I told myself, if I don't make it, it wasn't meant to be. So that's how I leave that. I know Dan Ferris will take very good care of the constituents in 16. Also, through all my travels, I met a lot of people, all my county board people here, all the staff. And when I first got on the county board, the first year, it took me 1 year, but I went to every department and introduced myself and asked them what they did, so when I was on the board, when something would come up, I knew how to vote. So that was very helpful for me. And as far as WCHA, I was the first woman to be on that board, and they called me up and they said I was chair and they wanted me to give a speech, and I looked out there, at least 400-500 people were out in the audience. I'm standing up there looking. I thought, well, where's there a woman here? There was not a woman there. So I said, I thank you for your confidence. I'll do my best job possible. And I only have one more thing to say. And everybody was really quiet. I said, I'm just one of you guys. And they loved it. They all got up and clapped. So anyway, both of my daughters called, and they said, we know how hard you worked and how you wanted to get back on the board, but we have one thing to say. God has something else in mind for you. And so if anybody did not read the article today, because when I got up and I read that, well, my God, this is my last meeting. I'm taking it. If anybody didn't get a chance to read it, they will tonight. I'm going to pass it around. Thank you.
Thank you again. Thank you, Supervisor Doyle, for helping with the presentation of the plaques. Last thought is that after tonight's meeting, 109 years of experience on this county board leave with the 13 supervisors that we recognize tonight. And we know that it's being left in 29 sets of very capable hands to carry us forward, no question about that. But 109 years of service, and for all of the work that you have done, one more round of applause for those 13 supervisors who are leaving. Mr. O'Malley, Administrator's Report.
That really is a tough act to follow. Thank you to each of you for your service to the community. It is a pleasure to work with each of you. We'll go through some proclamations and some very brief reports, Supervisor Sobranek. Proclamation, I'm going to take this a little out of order. National Volunteer Week, Inspire by Example. Obviously, you do that. as county board members, whereas April is Volunteer Recognition Month, and whereas many of our residents spend hours volunteering their time and energy to improve across county services and programs, whereas it is important to acknowledge the effort volunteers have put forth to strengthen our county's communities and services, and whereas volunteers can make a difference in countless ways, and whereas La Crosse County has provided opportunities for people to become actively engaged in enhancing their communities, whereas residents of La Crosse County have consistently been involved as volunteers through Hillview, Lakeview Healthcare Centers, and La Crosse Aging Unit and UW Extension, now therefore, we as members of La Crosse County Board do hereby proclaim April 15th through 21st as Inspire by Example Volunteer Recognition Week.
That proclamation has been moved by Supervisor Wood and seconded by Supervisor Mock. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That proclamation is approved unanimously.
I'm going to read the next proclamation, but I have just two brief announcements to mention to folks. Supervisor Schrader asked just for verification. April 12th, there is a meeting at Logan High School. Just a reminder, this is on the I-90-53 project, not to concentrate on the Exit 3 issue, but to concentrate on public comment about the whole project. You asked me to follow up on that. That's April 12th at Logan High School. If you didn't write that down, talk to me after the meeting. And also, there is a meeting 5 o'clock to 7:30. Thank you. At the Logan? Oh, the, okay. I had high school, okay. And then also, next Tuesday, April 17th, from 1 to 7, is a public input meeting by American Transmission Company. I'll pass this on to Supervisor Pedretti at Stony Creek. It's the day of our organizational meeting, but it's from 1 to 7 for public comment on ATC's plans. And we do have copies, a few extra copies of the Exit 3 study if individuals want a full copy of that. On to the proclamation then, La Crosse County Government Month. I think it's appropriate to have this in the outgoing and incoming of new county supervisors, as well as the report that we're about to have from our public health department. La Crosse County Government Month, whereas La Crosse County employs nearly 1,400 people working with an annual budget of $135 million, yet at the same time, La Crosse County maintains the fifth lowest tax levy out of the 72 Wisconsin counties, and whereas La Crosse County employees and the County Board of Supervisors are committed to excellence, integrity, pride, and respect, encouraging creativity as a source of new ideas to continuously improve in services. And whereas counties enhance the quality of life in countless ways, including protecting health and public safety, enforcing laws and ordinances, operating the court system, maintaining vital public records, conducting elections, maintaining and plowing the roads, preventing abuse and neglect of the most vulnerable, assisting the elderly, poor, and mentally ill, disposing of solid waste, enhancing environmental protection, planning for economic development, and being prepared for community responses to emergencies and disasters. Whereas National County Government Month is celebrated each April by the nation's counties to raise public awareness and understanding about the roles and responsibilities of county government, the 2012 theme is Healthy Counties, Healthy Families. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim the month of April La Crosse County Government Month.
A proclamation is moved by Supervisor Mettinger, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That proclamation is approved unanimously.
That's the conclusion of my report.
Are you introducing the
certainly,
health department?
I certainly can. I don't. Is it going to be Linda or Doug leads off? Linda? We thought it'd be important that the largest initiative and largest grant that La Crosse County has ever received, as we come to the end of the majority of the work under the obesity prevention grant and the Safe Streets work that we've complete streets that we've been doing, that this would be a good way of connecting with supervisors as they leave and the board as we go into the next term, to really wrap up and report back on the results that the two programs have had and the positive impact that it's had on our community. And if you have been reading the newspaper, I'd just point out that today Lee Roche, one of our local partners from Wisconsin Technical College, was highlighting the collaborative work that's going on making La Crosse County the healthiest county in the country and striving for that goal. So I think that ties in very well with the theme of County Government Month throughout the nation, as well as just this the excellent standard of work that our health department provides to this community. And with that, I'll just ask Linda to come forward and give us an update on what's happening in this area.
Okay. I'm technologically challenged at times, which is why Josh is doing the presentation. I'll let him get the first slide up. 4 years ago, we had the opportunity at the health department to combine our obesity, nutrition, physical activity, and tobacco efforts and bring together 25 folks from the community who worked in these areas and develop a strategic plan for our community. And folks came from a wide variety of places. We developed the plan over a period of a year, and then, interestingly, right as we were finishing it up, we had the opportunity to apply for the Communities Putting Prevention to Work grant to be part of that. And we basically took the strategic plan that these 25 folks from the community had put together, and we dropped it into the plan of work. Figuring that these were great ideas, the community had developed them, and we wanted to see the strategic plan implemented. Amazingly, as you know, we got funded. We got a grant for $2.2 million. Half of the money, $1.1 million, went out to community partners who we were working with on the activities. We hired staff in June of 2010, and they hit the ground running and have been not stopped. They have not stopped since. They've done a great job. They're all with me this evening, so if you have questions about the different initiatives we're going to be talking about, they're here to answer your questions. I'd like to start the presentation and introduce you to some of the community partners we worked with. This short 3-minute video is about the community partners and the Healthy Living Collaboration and the folks that put the plan together and the folks that we've been working with. So, there we go. Oh, no.
Like the Great River, awesome things are possible when many contributors come together.
We're all in this together.
That's the approach La Crosse County is taking towards community health.
The philosophy that we have here at the health department, we're a better community when we all work together to make the community a better place.
How can we form a healthy living collaborative that gets groups and community members working in the same direction?
But the health department is important, I think, to bring all the players to the table. Partners from healthcare, Boys and Girls Club, school districts, city government and county government, people from the business community.
Well, Linda Lee with the County Health Department had asked if we would kind of focus on the motto, making the healthy choice the easy choice. So we created a 500 club meal combination inside our restaurants and in the drive-thru, making the healthy choice the easy choice for our customer.
You have a whole bunch of restaurants with 500 club meals in them. Think of how many people you reach. The reach is huge.
That's dozens of restaurants offering hundreds of low-fat meal choices under 500 calories. And a quick trip, a quick choice, can still be a careful one. To get there, you don't even need a car.
Now we're putting these bike facilities on the street, so people are going to now start seeing more bicyclists. This whole complete streets concept.
Complete the street and make a healthy neighborhood.
In a suburban-style subdivision, they pull in, the garage door closes, they go in their house. The whole idea of a neighborhood is you have that tree-lined street, you have sidewalks, safe routes to school, which the public health folks got us going on a long time ago.
We wanted to expand safe routes to school. It's been known to get more kids walking and biking to school.
And at school, a healthy lunch.
They're eating things that are surprising to people. Salads,
with things in it, mixed together. They're eating things that they wouldn't necessarily be eating before.
After-school activities include getting active.
One of our core values at the Boys and Girls Clubs is teaching kids healthy lifestyles. So it seemed like a natural marriage for us.
Getting all those stakeholders in health together made the difference.
And that's really the key to this whole effort, is to try to make those changes out in the community so that it's easier to make a healthy choice.
Making the healthy choice is still an individual responsibility, but easier in an environment that supports it.
When you compare an environmental approach to a more individual approach, you can reach a far greater number of people, and the cost is significantly less.
In La Crosse County, Wisconsin, they are reaching people and producing results.
It's set our direction. We've always believed in healthy choices. Now we actually have an action plan to be able to do it, one that actually produces results.
So that gives you a hint of the number of folks that have been involved in this initiative. The Get Active initiative was basically split into two parts, the youth piece and the adult or community piece. And I'd like to briefly talk about both, and then we have one of our partners here with us this evening, Jess Ecker, from Ecker's Apple Orchard, and she can talk a little bit about the farm-to-school piece and her role in it. The youth segment or component of our communities putting prevention to work, I'm not used to standing still. So I move away and you can't hear me. But what we tried to do was put have things that or initiatives that focused on physical activity as well as things that focused on initiatives that focused on the nutrition aspects. And basically what we tried to do was grow initiatives that we knew were already working in our community, like Safe Routes to School. But we also had some new ideas, like Farm to School, that we wanted to grow as well. The physical activity piece of it, the Safe Routes to School, whoop, back up. The Safe Routes to School piece, we initially started in 2010 with three schools. There were three schools that were doing Safe Routes to School and promoting walking and biking to school. We grew that during the grant period, the 18 months that we have been working on the grant, to 13 schools, and now we're hoping to have 18 schools by the fall of 2012. It has been incredibly successful. Each of the schools has a liaison that connects with the staff here and connects and promotes walking and biking to school at the schools. Each school has a walking school bus. And basically what that is it's kids walking together with an adult so that parents can feel comfortable and safer about their kids walking to school. So these are held weekly, and again, they've been very, very successful. You can see the crowd. I believe this is from Logan, middle. So the other piece of that has been that the schools have embedded Safe Routes to School. This is the sustainability piece in their wellness policies. In their student handbooks, so that this will continue on with some help from us, but certainly will continue on into the future. Josh? And the after-school piece, we know that schools can't be totally responsible for kids being physically active. That period between 3 and 7 p.m. Oftentimes is a time for that it's hard to make sure the kids stay moving. And so the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCA agreed to work with us and pass policies to ensure that kids would be physically active if they were at their sites. Since the YMCA had kids all day long in their child care as well as the surround care, they decided to pass a policy that assured 60 minutes of physical activity through the course of the day. Boys and Girls Club, because they don't have them for a shorter period of time, their policy stated that they were going to make sure that they got 30 minutes of activity while they were at the club. Both of them have said that the kids really enjoy the changes in programming, and again, this has become part of how they do business. So these policies will continue long after the grant ends. Okay. There we go. The Farm to School program is the other youth piece of this, and it's focused on nutrition. There has been an enormous amount of interest in getting local food into schools, and there also has been a lot of interest in improving school meals. And so we implemented a Farm to School program at all of the public school districts in the county. It has two parts. Part of it is the procurement piece, where you're getting the food from the farmers. Josh is our procurement coordinator. He aggregates food from a variety of farmers. We each month have a harvest of the month, so that one month we're focused on carrots, the next month we're focused on broccoli or cabbage. And then he gets the food to the schools either through a distributor. Sometimes it's pre-processed, cut up, and frozen, so that schools just have to basically heat it and serve it, because some of our schools don't have a lot of ability to prepare foods on site. So that has been one piece of it. But you can get the food into the schools, but can you get the kids to eat it? And if you had told me, a year or two ago that you could get kids to eat roasted cabbage, I would have laughed. I really would have laughed.
Can you get county board supervisors to eat roasted cabbage? That's the question.
I just didn't believe it. And I watched these kids scarf down the stuff. It's amazing to me. And part of it is the educational piece, because we do sampling prior to the item being menued, but we also then have chefs coming into the schools to do these chef-led assemblies and teach the kids, you know, about the item, get them to sample things. And one of our one of those food service directors up in Holman has said that anytime he puts Chef Thomas, who's from Gunderson Lutheran, he puts his name before something, the kids take it off the line really quickly, because they love Chef Thomas's stuff. So that has been a really fun way of getting kids to change their habits, and it has been incredibly successful. Staff have worked very hard on this, and they've been actually recognized nationally for some of their work. So the adult component of this, again, we wanted to look at healthy eating as well as active living, and so we had two pieces to this. Josh? We again took the initiatives that were going on in the community, Gunderson's 500 Club, Sansville Vending's Wellness Warriors, Footsteps to Health, which is a grocery store initiative to get people to purchase and eat more fruits and vegetables. Those were already existing in our community. We just really wanted to expand them and grow those pieces. And then we also knew that we needed to improve the infrastructure surrounding bike and pedestrian accommodations, because our transportation systems are very car-focused, and we were trying to get people moving, potentially biking and walking to work, biking and walking when they ran small errands. So the bike-pedestrian piece of this, we looked at the 2035 bike plan and wanted to implement a piece, some of the short-range and some of the medium-range infrastructure pieces to it. We have increased sevenfold bicycle facilities on City of La Crosse streets. And we've also worked with 14 businesses in the community to encourage active commuting to and from work. And the picture down at the bottom on the left side is the mayor accepting a bicycle-friendly community's silver designation. And they're going for gold, they tell me, next year. We had 8 businesses that were recognized by the League of American Bicyclists as bicycle-friendly businesses. 5 received bronze-level awards, and 3 got honorable mention. And next. And this is, again, a short video about work at Train and some of the things that some of the things they did to encourage healthier lifestyles.
Every morning, Monday through Friday, spring, summer, fall, and winter, Aaron Otteson mounts his bike and heads out to Train. Train Corporation, that is, the heating and cooling company where Aaron works.
After I got my job here at Train, I purposely bought a house close by so I could, you know, stop using my vehicle so much.
Aaron's title is electrical engineer, but he's also taken on more responsibilities not in his job description as Train's active commuting ambassador.
Aaron's done a tremendous amount of work to promote biking and walking to work. It's not part of his job. You know, it's over and above his job. He has to do his job and that.
People are really responding to this. Overall, I've tracked 171 people total that have been actually actively participating in one program or another we've been doing here.
This year has been a lot more fun because of the team aspect of it.
And you feel good because you've accomplished something?
And it just feels good. Oh, I just had a great workout. I have a good day of work ahead of me. It just completely changes my mood.
I feel really good.
The Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin has recognized numerous La Crosse area businesses that, like Train, are making great strides in active commuting.
And the next bronze award goes to Gunderson Roofing.
A lot of those employers are seeing the value of workplace wellness, that they are seeing the value of investing in their employees for reduced sick time, there's higher productivity when they're healthy, when they're happy, and so we planted that seed. People are excited about the direction that we're moving.
We've got our autumn enchiladas.
Back at Train Corporation, worksite wellness isn't just about how you get to and from work.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a fruit salsa here, so it's got apples, kiwi, raspberries in there, and fruit preserves.
Today, the employee cafeteria has got free samples of healthy meals.
You're looking at a great example of what we have to try and provide a healthy lifestyle for our employees. It's called Footsteps to Health. We do this on a regular basis and try and encourage people to maybe choose a little differently when it comes time to eat.
We're here to show people at Train that healthy recipes can taste delicious and that they can be quick and easy to make.
It's exciting to see that more people are changing the way that they eat. It's also exciting to see so many people outside walking around and getting exercise. I would encourage any company to take a look at ways to figure out how to help their employees be healthier. In a way, this is self-serving because we want to make sure we keep our medical costs down, and if you have healthier people, they'll miss less time at work, they'll be more productive, and they'll live a better lifestyle.
For the company, that means more employee time developing, building, and selling their line of high-end heating and cooling equipment. Train Corporation has learned that worksite wellness is a hot idea, and their employees think that's pretty cool.
Hop on a bike someday and try it. You'll be surprised how easy it is.
And the last piece of the physical activity portion of our grant was on complete streets. If you remember about a year ago, you took up and passed a complete streets policy, and you were the leaders in doing so, in trying to make our streets in the county safer for all users, not just cars, but bikes, pedestrians, and vulnerable users. We kind of played around a little bit, and the bottom slide there is a picture of West Avenue and what it would look like if it actually was complete, with bike lanes on it and a median and things of that nature. But what you started, other municipalities have picked up. So after the county board passed the complete streets policy for the county, the Village of West Salem passed a complete streets policy. The City of La Crosse last summer passed an ordinance. And then during the fall, Holman passed a complete streets policy as well. Onalaska is the only municipality that is still outstanding. We're kind of hoping that down the road, that will happen as well. I know that the new mayor is supportive of it, so I'm kind of hoping that that will come to pass as well. So, next, yep. The last piece of the community, kind of adult-focused piece, is the healthy eating. And as I said, there were existing initiatives in the community, and we really just wanted to grow those. 500 Club and Wellness Warriors, a healthy vending initiative with Stansfield, based actually on 500 Club selections, were two of the areas that we really focused in. We really wanted to see at least a 50% increase in the number of members in the 500 Club, and we're now at 82% and growing. So this has been incredibly successful. The top right is a picture of Quick Trip. That's one of the bigger organizations to join 500 Club. They have 400 stores. All of them have fresh cases, like the one you see up here, so that when you stop at a Quick Trip, you can get a piece of fruit, you can get yogurt, you can get, you know, an individual piece of string cheese. There's lots of healthy options, which is wonderful. And then the bottom part of the slide has a drive-through where at McDonald's in our community, they were 500 Club members, but they really never promoted it very much. We worked with them, Tiffany and the 500 Club specialist from Gunderson worked with them to bundle some of their meals. If you walk into a fast food restaurant, you can generally look at the menu and it'll say, you know, meal number one, and it has multiple pieces connected to it. What they did was they took their meals, their options, their food items, and put them together in a healthier meal. And so that's what you see when you go through the drive-through. The first kiosk that you see is a 500 Club kiosk that gives you the different things that you can order. And if you go into the restaurants, you see the same thing. Stansfield Vending has taken 500 Club and kind of applied it to the snack piece of their business. And what they do is if you're a Wellness Warrior member, your machine will look a little bit different in that it has less candy in it. The items in it, like the snack items, salty snack items like potato chips, don't come in giant bags. They come in a smaller 1 ounce bag. And the healthier options are offset price-wise. So your peanuts might be 60 cents, where your candy like M&Ms or Hershey bars might be a dollar and a quarter. We've seen this has been a harder nut to crack. We've seen a 10% increase in the number of Wellness Warriors members. But we also have seen, we tried a little bit different tact and created healthy zones for machines that weren't wellness aware machines, and at least we put all the healthier options on one side so you could see it, which I think has helped. And the last piece of the healthy dining or healthy eating component is footsteps to health. And this is much like farm to school. There is a featured fruit or a vegetable each month that the grocery stores feature in nutrition kiosks. And what they do is they allow people to taste items, or say it's carrots or it's broccoli, something made with that particular fruit or vegetable, and they get information about how to store the produce, how to purchase it, etc. And we have this at four festival food stores, Hanson's IGA in West Salem, and then at two train sites, which you saw in, you know, very briefly in the video. We have seen it at the three original festival sites, we saw a 10% increase in fruit and vegetable purchases. So it does work. If you can get people to try the different recipes and try the different options, they do buy and eat more fruits and vegetables. So it has worked fairly well. The interesting thing about this, can you show the next slide, is that Walmart didn't have the ability to have the nutrition kiosks, so we did something a little bit different there. They just launched their healthy checkout aisles. So the aisles, instead of having candy and the National Enquirer and, you know, batteries, they have fruit, vegetables, active toys, magazines that have healthy cooking recipes. It's been a very successful launch so far. Lynn Patty, from the manager there, made the comment to Tiffany that she was having trouble keeping things on the shelves. They were moving so quickly, which is a good thing. So, all right, and then the last component of our Communities Putting Prevention to Work program is strong seniors. We have a lot of senior citizens who are not active, and we were trying to find ways to get them moving, get them to be more physically active. And what we did was we took a program, an evidence-based program called Strong Women, Strong Bones, and modified it for the senior population. And it has been incredibly popular. It has made a difference in many of these families and seniors' lives. And I'll end with the 3-minute video on Strong Seniors program. And you'll see somebody you know in this program. No, Margaret. There we go.
I get excited when it's a lifestyle change. Physical activity is so important and all throughout the lifespan, especially with seniors. As seniors, adults become older, they tend to be less physically active and then have more health problems. We advertise in the newspaper to find potential participants who would be interested, and we were overwhelmed by the response that we had. We had an informational meeting that we had 100 people attend to find out more about the Strong Seniors program.
My husband died last year. We always used to exercise together, walk together, do all those things. I was very lonely by myself, and I didn't feel quite the same impetus to go and do those things. And then I saw that there was an exercise class, especially for people such as I, and I thought this was a very good idea. Well, we definitely want to make it easy for our seniors to be active. If it's too difficult, people will not attend. We're having a central location, so it's easier. Transportation can be a barrier, and that's why we started out where it is easy for people to get to the classes. We're working together as little ladies and women do really need to exercise, and most of us don't have any senses. So just getting together to feel the breath, you know, to love ourselves and love each other, have a time together, and at the same time, be very stronger. And I've seen people in the talk.
She's one of our trainers that we've trained.
As high. You're not using it, you're going to go all the way up. There's truth to that. If you don't use it, you lose it. So what excited me was that you can come back. Just because you've lost it, it doesn't mean you can't gain it back. When I completed the 12 weeks, I could tell the difference in my own body. They tested at the beginning of the class and the end of the class. I got higher points on all of my tests from the beginning to the end. So then I knew that it helped me. So I'm proud to show that this program helps build strength and balance. It's an evidence-based program.
I love it. It's they cover all major muscle groups really well. I feel very, very good about the class. I'm very fit, and I notice that I have less sagging in places, particularly my arms, which is really nice. You know, I feel like I can wear sleeveless dress again.
Teachers in these classes are very careful to show you how to do it, and they supervise you, because if you're not doing it correctly, then you may as well not be doing it. They're very careful about that. So I would advise any seniors, especially if they're not in an exercise class, that this would be something they should really put as a must on their list.
There is no fee for the class, which is excellent. It's been a great draw. So there's not the barrier of a cost to seniors.
You're always looking out to spend your money wisely and having this opportunity to come here without having to fork over, you know, $30, $40, $50 a month for a membership somewhere. It's great.
I'm 75 years old, so I need a slow pace, and I appreciate the other people being close to my age, so I don't have to compete with some young athlete.
I'm 87. I'm 88 in June. I haven't been trying for 20 years yet. So I would take it from there.
So, in a nutshell, that's what we've been up to over the last 18 months. Many of the initiatives will continue. We've been applying for continued funding through contracts and other grants. We've received actually one grant for $400,000 that is going to be combining the Farm to School and Footsteps to Health initiatives. I don't want to take any more time, because I really would like to have Jess Ecker from Ecker's Apple Orchard talk for a few minutes about what she is experiencing as a farmer in our Farm to School program. Welcome, Jess.
Hi, my name is Jess Ecker. My family owns and operates an orchard outside of Trempealeau, Wisconsin. And this was the second year that we worked with the Farm to School program. I'd written something out for, there was an economic development, and I thought it was applicable, so I'm just going to read it. Last year, Ecker's Apple Farm had the privilege of participating in the Holman, West Salem, and La Crosse School District's Farm to School programs. It was a fantastic experience for many reasons and beneficial both for us as Wisconsin growers and the local districts that we served. The Farm to School program has provided us with an additional new market for our small fruit. Previously, undersized fruit went straight to juice, regardless of quality or variety. These small apples are the perfect size for elementary students, and we now have an outlet for this crop. Our participation in Farm to School allowed us to educate both kids and adults about the food they eat and how it gets from the farm to their plates. Ecker's Apple Farm was able to deliver 10 different types of apples to the schools over the course of 4 months. We also invited individual classrooms to visit the orchard for guided tours. Students came back to the farm on weekends with their parents, excited to show them around and to teach them about the things that they learned in their Farm to School experience. In 2009, Wisconsin's childhood obesity rate was 27.9%. This is unacceptable, and I believe implementing Farm to School programs statewide is one of the best inroads into controlling and eventually reversing this epidemic. Fresh local Farm to School produce guarantees students access to the very best, most nutritious, seasonal food free from preservatives. This unique opportunity promotes economic development in our rural areas while bolstering student health and nutrition education community-wide. It's my hope that Wisconsin continues to build on the framework of this young program and spread its benefits to schools, farms, and communities all over the state. So we've really enjoyed our experience. We hope to continue. Josh has been a fantastic coordinator. He is, you know, in implementing any new anything, there are hiccups and problems, and Josh is always there to make some phone calls, straighten things out. We started working with Reinhardt this last year. That's a huge burden off our backs as a small grower to not have to distribute our product. And I hope that continues. So that's all I had. If anyone has a question or anything.
Any questions of Jess or of Linda on any of the components of the presentation? No. I'm just shocked that we don't have apples on our tables tonight.
I thought about it, actually.
Well, our apples are just flowers at this point. So, I can leave some business cards with Josh, too, if anyone thinks of anything that they want to give me a ring or something.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in tonight, Jess, very much. Sharon. Supervisor Hampson. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of everything that the Health Department does and proud of the Health and Human Services Board that encourages them all the time. And I want to draw your attention to the latest La Crosse magazine where it features our Health Department and the, what do you call that place? Health Science Consortium. And it goes through all the programs that Linda just talked about and several more. And it's just an amazing effort they're making, and I'm happy we got that big grant. And I just think we've got really terrific employees, and they're doing a terrific job. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, thank you, Linda, very much, and for all the staff who are here enduring a lengthy session to hear about a program that you know a lot about already. But thank you for being here. Next on the agenda is item 4-3 from the Executive Committee. Supervisor Burke.
Madam Chair, I didn't support this in the executive committee. I can put it on the floor and then ask to speak to it, or may have another supervisor put it on the floor.
Well, let's have Supervisor Billings read the ordinance since she voted in favor of it, and then we'll call on you. Supervisor Billings.
Thank you. I have an ordinance to amend Section 1.42, Parent 1 of Chapter 1 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, regarding executive committee membership. The analysis is that the amendment is a housekeeping change to reflect the practice of the county board chair appointing at least one supervisor as an at-large member of the exec committee. Such appointment may be needed to meet the 9 membership requirement, regardless of whether any of the vice chairs are also chairs of the standing committee. And I move to suspend the rules to waive the second reading of this.
So a motion has been made to consider an amendment to Ordinance Section 1.42, Parent 1 of Chapter 1. Let's get a second on that, seconded by Supervisor Hampson. We need to discuss that item, but just so everyone understands, the intent is that because it is an ordinance change, it would normally require 60 days, the first reading followed by the second, 30 days, I guess, second reading at the following meeting. The intent is that this is a housekeeping matter coming from the restructuring committee that was overlooked when Chapter 1 came to us last month, and to complete the work from the 35 county board supervisors in the 2010-12 term, that we would need to suspend the rules and vote and have both first and second readings this evening. So that's the intent. You have before you the ordinance in its proposed format. There was an alternative amendment made in the executive committee meeting prior to this. And at this time, I will call on Supervisor Burke for that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, when the chair's talking about the downsizing committee, the motion at the January meeting in the downsizing committee was that the executive committee, the structure would remain essentially the same. And it was my understanding, and there are committee members here who can dispute or agree, but that was the five chairs of the standing committee, the three officers of the board, and the at-large member. And that was what the current executive committee had been comprised of and had been the practice of the county board. So that was that. At the time we had the discussion on the floor of the county board, I think that was the attitude or the idea that most people had in mind. And I was a little frustrated when this came forward. We received on Wednesday of this last week the notice that there would be this special executive committee meeting. And I had questions about this because I thought it impacted if we wanted to maintain that structure, another section of the ordinance, and that section couldn't be amended or talked about at that special executive committee meeting because obviously we had to just focus on this one section of the ordinance. So I had a conversation with the chair and explained my frustration. Also had a conversation with Corp Counsel about bringing that other ordinance forward at the same time. Because I felt that there was more to it than just the section that was being discussed. In reality, the practice has been the nine members on the executive committee, and the practice had been that the five chairs of the standing committee were not officers of the board. And although I believe that this was the practice that the former chairman Doyle had, and I think it is a good practice, and a good practice for this reason, that if you allow, because the committee chairs have as a responsibility the setting of agenda for the committee and the responsibility of that committee and the departments that committee oversees. And that's one particular responsibility, I think, and I can see they are necessary on the executive board. The three officers of the board, if you look at those three positions, you realize, obviously, the chair of the county board chairs the executive committee and also chairs the economic development. Has the opportunity to chair the economic development, does not have to, but serves on some other committees because of that position. Examples, Criminal Justice Management Committee, the Emergency Medical Services Committee, and so forth. The first vice chair has as his or her responsibilities, the first of all being elected by the county board, has that responsibility to the county board, but also as first vice chair serves on the executive committee and on the economic development committee. An important role representing the entire county board on those two committees. The second vice chair serves on the executive board as well as the economic development. The first vice chair also serves on the Emergency Medical Services Commission. So the three officers of the board have responsibilities other than just the one that you elect them to or have elected them to as an officer of the board. They, as a result of that, serve on that responsibility. I see that the committees of the chairs of the standing committees, and you know I argued unsuccessfully about the committees themselves selecting that chair for the very reason that I feel that committee chairs have a special responsibility in helping to set the agenda and to understand the departments over which that committee has oversight. So because of that, and I think it recognizes if we insist that those individuals, the five chairs of the standing committee and the three officers, are eight different individuals, I think it recognizes, again, the fact that we have a diverse county board and that we have many qualified people. I would really dislike, and I think you can agree with me, that if you looked at the executive committee and that you had the three chairs, your chair and your first and second vice chair, as also the chairs of three standing committees, and then just two other individuals, you might, on that executive committee, have only five individuals who hold those five committee chairs, as well as those three officers of the board. So in making an amendment to I'm going to make an amendment to this that would not put in place completely that, because because I did not do it indicating that this would be acceptable, that it would accomplish the same thing for the time being until we had that larger discussion. So my motion is that and I'm sorry, I'll pick up a sheet from you, Jenny. It's a simple amendment. My motion is to amend section 1.42, parent 1, to read, the county board chair may appoint an additional at-large supervisor to the executive committee to maintain the membership at 9 supervisors. And then there would be a period, and that is shaded, that would be gone. So I'll just read it a second time and ask for it a second. The county board chair may appoint an additional at-large supervisor to the executive committee to maintain the membership at 9 supervisors, thus keeping the 5 committee chairs and the 3.
Let's get a second on that. Seconded by Supervisor Feehan. Go ahead, yourself the floor.
Okay, and I guess I spoke to the to it because I wanted to bring in the other part of the amendment at this time, and the chair, in my conversation with the chair, felt that would be a larger discussion that needed to take place at another time. I'm not so certain that that's true, and if this fails, I have the option of bringing that forward to the executive committee on Wednesday and to the full county board for a discussion. I understand what my privileges are in that area. I would ask that you really take a look at and consider that composition of the executive committee. I've had the privilege of serving on it since 2004. I think that having those county board supervisors who are committee chairs be 5 individuals and the officer of the board be 3 other individuals is a way of being more inclusive, sharing that leadership responsibility. I understand that the officers of the board have been put into other leadership responsibilities. So I ask your support of the amendment.
So the amendment before us is what I will refer to as the Burke Amendment. Everybody clear on the language of that? It was seconded by Supervisor Feehan. Supervisor Feehan, were you wanting to be recognized? So discussion on the Burke Amendment. Supervisor Feehan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also share concerns, and having chaired a couple of other organizations myself, the section here that reads, in addition, the immediate past county board chair may serve as a member of the executive committee for 1 year from the last date that he or she held office as a county board chair, provided that he or she continues to be a supervisor. In some cases, the relationship between an incoming and an outgoing chair may not be a good relationship. And as I read this, does this then say that the past chair automatically is appointed to the executive committee? Because I think that it opens up the possibility at some point in the future that if there's not a good relationship between the incoming and outgoing chairman, that it could cause problems within the executive committee.
So I'm going to ask that for right now we're concentrating the discussion on the amendment, which is Supervisor Burke's language, and additional at-large supervisor. We can talk about the other portions of 1.42 parent 1, but for right now okay. We need to limit debate to the Burke amendment.
Then I will just say that I believe that Supervisor Burke makes a good observation about having more inclusion into the executive committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. While I appreciate the intent of Supervisor Burke's proposal, I want to speak against it. We're entering a new era here. I mean, we have had 35 board members for the last 10 years. Now we're going down to 29. The dynamics are different. I mean, with a smaller group, you may have some overlap. And to essentially say, because we elected a particular person to second vice chair, let's say, that person is now precluded from being a committee chair, both are important positions. If we have a person who can stand head and shoulders above other people and have some really good leadership, and the board recognizes that and elects them to, say, the position of second vice chair again, and maybe they're really good at running committees and they're really devoted to the board, you know, we get another Arlene Benrud who devotes her entire life to the board, and to say, well, you can only be one, you can't be the other, I mean, I think that would be a mistake. I chose, as a matter of policy, to say you can only be one or the other. But it doesn't mean I was right. It's just how I did it. And I think that we want to allow our chair, I mean, the person that we as a collective body elect, I mean, we give them that position because we have faith that they're going to do the right thing. And if they're not going to be inclusive, they're probably, first of all, not going to get elected in the first place, and secondly, they won't get elected next time if they, you know, take that kind of attitude. I suspect that our current chair and our future chairs would likewise want to be as inclusive as possible, but I don't like the idea of tying their hands and saying that they can't give a person the opportunity to serve in two roles, a person who has that dedication and the willingness to serve. Because quite honestly, you look around the room and you've got some people who want that. You have other people who are not interested in those leadership roles, and we need both. But we shouldn't penalize a person because they have that extra initiative. So while I appreciate the philosophy that Supervisor Burke is putting forward, I come down on the side of giving our chair the discretion to do what they believe is right.
Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you. This discussion kind of reminds me a little bit about my 8-year-old granddaughter who wasn't doing very well in school last year, and this year she happens to be doing very well. And the difference was the teachers, and what my 8-year-old was so astute to analyze was the fact that when she was in a class where one kid was getting most of the recognition, she felt, what's the point of trying? Because that boy was always the star of the class. And that just crossed my mind in hearing this discussion. And with 29 supervisors, it would seem to me that if they run for the office, they should be of being a supervisor, they should be willing to serve in any position as time goes by. Now, granted, you want people to chair committees that have some experience and know a little bit about, more than a little bit, about the operation of the county. But I can empathize with Supervisor Burke's position, because still, with 29 people, I think to have only nine, that's more less than a third representative on the economic, or at least on the executive committee, that it makes good sense to ensure that a person is either an officer or that they are a committee chair. So that's my observation for what it's worth.
Other discussion on the Burke amendment? There are two people wishing to be heard a second time. Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate former Chair Doyle's comment, but the problem is that we select the first and second vice chair prior to the committee chairs being selected, so that we don't really have the option of, as a board, of not electing someone as first or second vice chair who is the chair of a committee. So that I would certainly agree that if we had that option, that would give the board the selection of whether or not they wanted to do that. But the board doesn't get that opportunity. The first and second vice chair are chosen, and then the committee chairs are chosen. And so it doesn't give the board the opportunity to not select someone who is a committee chair. I think that Supervisor Cutter has made an excellent point. I taught for 35 years. If I came into the class of 30 and said, only five of you are going to get an A, the rest of you will have to be satisfied with, you know, that we work for a position and we rise to the occasion of the position. I understand, too, that people need to have some expertise, but the truth of the matter is that even with limited experience that someone may have served on a committee or been on the board several years, they have had an opportunity to understand what happens in other areas, perhaps, than the one in which they have served on committee. Some of us have served, for example, when I came on the board, I served on health board, I served on zoning. So I have, there are supervisors who have backgrounds that certainly, even though they may not have been on a committee, and I think that it gives the opportunity of a person to rise to that occasion of accepting that and feeling the responsibility and feeling that I'm a part of making those decisions and leadership rather than exclusion. This could be, you could rest those committee chairs and the officers of the board in five people. That would not be a good idea.
Supervisor Plesha.
Thank you. I find it interesting that, you know, if I were elected second vice chair, as an example, and Hillview was in the process of being completed, it might be a prerogative of the chair to keep me in that position for a short period of time, as was the Justice Center when we put the addition, when Vicki served both positions. Is that correct, Vicki? Did you do both?
Madam Chair, may I explain?
Privilege of your name being mentioned. Sure.
At that time, when I became the first vice chair, obviously in the middle of the chair had the prerogative to select, but the committee membership still remained at 9 because the former vice chair went to the committee. So the membership did remain at the number 9.
Is it changing from 9? I guess that's what I'm worried. I don't look at this as something that is a life or death matter. I can understand how people would feel if the chair were to do something like that, but I don't see that happening. In fact, I think the only time it would happen is if there was some type of a reason for that person to be left as chair for that committee because of something that was ongoing and or something that would have been a better fit for that person. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to vote no on this. Thank you.
Supervisor Doyle is the last speaker wishing to be recognized.
Just very briefly, I'm going to also talk about school, and I'm going to get out of my element. When I was in school, social studies and English was my thing, not math. And I'm going to talk about math right now for just a moment. Under either scenario, there will be 9 people in leadership positions. The executive committee, under the way this reads, it's 9 people. Under what Supervisor Burke is saying, it's 9 people. So we're not making it less inclusive. There may be somebody on there who is in leadership on the executive committee who is not a committee chair or an officer. They're still in leadership. They still get the same function on the executive committee. So I don't think that the argument of this being less inclusive holds any water. Thank you.
On the computer, we're voting on the Burke amendments. Supervisor Schrader.
Could you read the Burke amendment again?
Yep, the clerk will read the amendment.
The county board chair may appoint an additional at-large supervisor to the exec committee to maintain the membership at 9 supervisors.
On the computer, yes if you're in favor of the Burke amendment, no if you are not. Supervisor Wood, did you pass, cast a vote?
I did.
Thank you. The Burke Amendment fails on a vote of 7 aye, 19 no, 1 abstention. So we are back to the original amendment to the ordinance, section 1.42, parent 1 of chapter 1. Supervisor Plesha.
I call for the question.
Supervisor Plesha has moved to end debate. Supervisor Feehan, was your hand up in debate, or were you seconding Supervisor Plesha's motion? You wanted to participate in debate, so the chair will recognize Supervisor Feehan.
I still am concerned about the section of the proposed ordinance relating to the past chair of the organization, and I'd like some clarification as to whether that is a automatic appointment to the executive committee or not.
Well, and first of all, that did not change. That's what the current the current ordinance reads.
I will offer an amendment.
That has not changed.
If that is not changed.
Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you. I would like to address that because I was the one who put that in there. And I did that so that my predecessor, who I defeated, I mean, it was a contested race for county board chair, I thought that he had a lot to offer. And although we didn't agree on everything, since then we've become very close friends, but at the time I thought it would be a huge loss to the leadership of the board to not give him the opportunity to continue on the executive committee. So I had this drafted, and I was the one who had this put in there when I first was elected chair so that Jim could continue on the executive committee.
I'm still waiting for an answer to my question, and I believe I still have the floor, don't I?
Yes, you do, and Mr. Lang is going to give you an answer.
I guess the way I read it, and that wasn't around earlier when that was being used, but the way I read it, it means that the meeting chair may serve, meaning can serve on that for 1 year from the last date that they held office as county board chair, provided that they continue as a supervisor.
And that's within the constraints of the 9 seats. I'm just going to say that that would be 10?
Yes.
And so we have the possibility of having 5-5 votes in the executive committee. I'm going to make a motion to strike that portion of the ordinance. And so it would read the same, but striking the portion from, in addition, the immediate past county board chair may serve as a member of the executive committee for 1 year from the last date that he or she held office as county board chair, provided that he or she continues to be a supervisor. I fully agree with Supervisor...
Let's get a second on this before okay. we... So Supervisor Feehan has moved striking the final sentence of Section 1 of 1.42 of Chapter 1. Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Burke. Go ahead. You have the floor, Supervisor Feehan.
Thank you. Having served in another organization where there was a very contentious election for chair, I can tell you that, I understand Supervisor Doyle's desire to maintain the experience of a past chair in the executive committee. However, not all elections for chair are going to be amicable, and the automatic appointment of the past chair into the executive committee not only does it create the possibility of a 5-5 deadlock, but it also creates the opportunity for that person to undermine the leadership of the present chair. And I cannot urge this body strongly enough not to create that situation, because the chair has the authority to make that appointment of the past chair. And if that relationship is such, as Supervisor Doyle said, that there's a great deal of experience there and there's a working relationship, then by all means, the chair should do that. But those are my thoughts.
Other discussion on the Feehan Amendment. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, Mr. Corporation Counsel, then your interpretation of that as it reads now, is that it's more or less a courtesy. I mean, the former chair doesn't have to serve on the executive committee. It says may serve. So basically, is it basically offered to the former chair, outgoing chair, and they may or may not decide to serve. So it's really up to the former chair to make that decision. Is that correct? But they have the option. Is that correct?
Well, that's, again, I wasn't around when they did it, but that's the way I read it. Otherwise, they would say shall.
Okay, so it is an option. It is a courtesy. It is an option. I don't know if courtesy is a correct word, but that I think that's what the intent of that is, according to Mr. Doyle. Thank you for that clarification.
Supervisor Ebert, on the fee and amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my concern is, and I share with Mr. Fienzi, I wonder how we can craft it so the board, the existing chair, could invite that person to do the year. As I read this, the last chair would have the option to say, I'm either going to do it or not, and the existing chair would have to accept that. Is that, how do you interpret that, sir? In other words, may at whose option, the board chair or the outgoing board chair?
Again, I wasn't the one that drafted it, so I'm not sure what they're thinking.
Well, I really would. So you're saying that the outgoing board chair would have the option to serve or not serve?
That's certainly how it's been interpreted.
Yeah, and I guess then I'm going to try to draft an amendment where the existing chair could invite that person to stay the year. Because I can see, I chair Mr. Fian's. What?
Let's keep the debate on the microphones directed at the chair, please. Supervisor Ebert, you have the floor. Are you making an amendment to the fee and amendment?
I will, in a second, I'll let some other discussion go, and then I'll come back with an amendment that, again, the purpose would be that the...
So Supervisor Ebert yields the floor to Supervisor Billings.
Thank you, Supervisor Ebert. I'm no parliamentarian, but I believe that the last line... When it says, in addition, the immediate past board chair may serve as a member, that may refers to the second part of that sentence. May, provided that he or she, provided I added myself, that he or she held the office as a county board chair. Provided that he or she continues to be a supervisor. So I believe the may refers to provided that he or she continues to be a supervisor. Because if they are no longer a supervisor, they will no longer serve.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Supervisor Mettinger has a question of parliamentary procedure.
For the Corporation Council, whoever. This resolution deals with a single item. And if you read the analysis, it says this amendment is a housekeeping change to reflect the practice of the County Board Chair appointing at least one supervisor as an at-large member. That's the only issue in front of us. Is that item that's in gray. You can't open up the whole ordinance to 5,000 different amendments when it's not related to the item that's in front of us. And I think this expands the scope of the resolution and is not a proper motion.
Mr. Lang.
I'll agree. I think we should stay with the issue that we've got. And the issue is just the selection of the at-large supervisor.
Well, at the mistake of the chair, then, the fee and amendment was made. It was seconded by Supervisor Burke, so we need to dispense with that. The floor was yielded by Supervisor Ebert to Supervisor Billings, who is now done with her comments. Supervisor Mettinger's inquiry was resolved, and we need to dispense with the fee and amendment. So what has changed is that Corporation Council has ruled that the scope of debate for this evening is the issue of the at-large member. It is clear to me from this seat this evening that there are other issues related to the membership of the executive committee, to Supervisor Burke's point referencing however long ago it was about a conversation that we had last week. There are other issues related to the executive committee membership that need to be resolved. We can certainly take up those matters on our April 17th agenda or in May or in June or any month in the future that we choose to. The issue, as Mr. Lang has correctly narrowed our focus back onto, is the membership, the at-large membership on the executive committee. So I'm going to rule that we need to dispense with the Fian amendment that I probably never should have let happen in the first place. My apologies. And the easiest way to do that would be for it to be removed. Thank you very much, Supervisor Fien. If Supervisor Burke, who is the seconder of that, will not agree to that. So we need to vote on the Fien amendment.
Oh, Madam Chair, point of information.
Point of information, Supervisor Burke.
Once the section of that, this is about section 1.42, paragraph 1 of the county code.
So Supervisor Burke is challenging the ruling of the chair that the scope of the item in front of us is limited to the member-at-large membership of the executive committee.
Right.
That's what you're disagreeing with my concurrence with Mr. Lang.
Right.
That the scope of this discussion should be limited just to the member-at-large issue.
At least in my experience, every time we've had an ordinance and it was about a particular section, we had the ability to amend any of that section. Now, others have experience on the board as well. I mean, they can disagree with me on that.
That disagreement
was a parliamentary inquiry as to whether my experience is in error or not, but that we have always had that ability. That was the reason why when I went to Corporation Council, I asked him about bringing in that other section, and I said that would have to be brought in before we would be able to discuss it, and he concurred with me on that would have had to run in, and I said then we can only deal with the section that we have brought in, and I thought he had said to me at the time that was the only section that we could deal with that entire section. Now maybe my memory is incorrect, but that was, I thought, the gist of the conversation. I'm not a lawyer, and I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night either, but that has always been my
can I make a point?
Absolutely.
So if you're challenging the ruling of the chair, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, you can vote, majority vote, to overrule the chair or not, so then that's what you do.
Are you making things better or worse, Supervisor?
I just want to, because you have to rule on this motion, whether it's in order or out of order,
mm-hmm.
and just to give you some guidance, if I might.
Please.
You know, I have quite a bit of experience in parliamentary procedure.
Would you like
the public has a right to know what is on the agenda of the county board. Yeah, it's a narrow agenda. You can't open up the universe to infinite number of amendments that are beyond the scope that the public is entitled to know what's here. So amendments under Robert's Rules of Order have to narrow the scope, not expand of the resolution that's in front of you. That's the book.
Thank you for that, Assistant Supervisor Mettinger. So Mr. Lang has indicated that his opinion is that we are discussing only the member at large on the executive committee. And I am concurring with Mr. Lang. My ruling is that the Fien Amendment is out of order. Supervisor Burke, is anybody or anybody else, are you wishing to challenge that ruling of the chair to narrow the scope of our discussion to exclude the Fien Amendment? Supervisor Geary, are you challenging the chair?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so
do I get to speak, or do you just?
I'm not sure that it's a debatable item. The ruling. Okay, yes. I'm sorry. You are challenging the chair, which
correct? Because the amendment deals with membership. He has narrowed it so much that it specifically deals with 1.42, which is membership of the executive committee. So any amendment that would deal with membership of the executive committee would be in order. We're specifically changing 1.42. This is a perfect example of why you hurriedly don't bring in changes to ordinances, and that's why we have two readings and it goes through a little a slower time pace than meeting 15 minutes before county board and then having to waive readings and go through the contained creations we're going through now. But there's no doubt that amendment deals with membership, and Mr. Fien's amendment deals with membership. So I would challenge a ruling of the chair.
So the ruling of the chair has been challenged. It is being debated now. It will be a majority vote when we cast our votes. Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Although Supervisor Geary says that it's clear that this is about 1.42 and about membership, it's also clear from reading the analysis that it is a housekeeping amendment. Mr. Feehan's amendment is not a housekeeping. It is a policy change. So that's a huge difference, and I think Supervisor Benninger hit the nail exactly on the head. The public reading our agenda would have understood that this was a non-issue tonight. It was a housekeeping measure. Mr. Feehan's amendment takes it away from housekeeping and into policy, and so I support the ruling of the chair.
Supervisor Burke.
Well, my comment is just going to be related to why I was so frustrated about this particular...
So it will be about debating the challenge of the chair.
Right.
Yes.
And I believe that the chair's ruling is being challenged because of the fact that we... that many are frustrated with the shortness of time when it's, you know, whether we believe it's truly a housekeeping or not a housekeeping. When we get it on a Wednesday, there's no one in the offices on Friday. I came in and did the best I could on discussing it on Thursday, but there was little or no option.
The Burke Amendment was voted on. The challenge of the chair is on whether or not the Feehan Amendment is appropriate. That's what we are debating. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If the chair's opinion is reaffirmed by the board, we can always bring this back next month. We can bring it back in June. We can bring it back in July. We can bring it back in August. Correct?
Amendments to this ordinance and any other ordinance can be brought to the board at any time, yes.
And it can be brought in through a standing committee, or it can be brought in through an individual supervisor.
It can be brought through a standing committee. It
has to be brought in through a standing committee.
Yes. So the debate is on...
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Supervisor Geary.
I think Mr. Burns' question, yes, you could change it later on, but after April or May, that's what we're going to operate under for 2 years. If you make a change, it won't take effect till after the next county board election, because the membership would already have been established. So saying we can do this in May and June is really incorrect. You can do it then, but it won't take effect for 2 years down the road.
Membership can be added or taken away at any point if an ordinance change is made. So on the computer, on Supervisor Geary's challenge of the chair, yes, if you are in favor of Supervisor Geary's challenge of the chair. No, if you are opposed.
No, if you support the chair.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Point of information.
Supervisor Spiker.
Isn't that just reversed, Dave? I thought you had to uphold the chair as a yes vote, and a no vote would be.
Well, we voted on the computer as I outlined it. My apologies if I outlined it incorrectly. People have already voted. All right, let's clear this tally, please, clerk. Thank you all for your timely assistance in these matters. So the ruling of the chair has been challenged by Supervisor Geary. As Supervisor Spiker has corrected me, I appreciate the correction very much. The vote should instead be the reverse of how I announced it earlier. The vote should be yes if you support the ruling of the chair. Affirm the chair's ruling is a yes. A no is an indication that you do not affirm the ruling of the chair and support the challenge that was issued. Thank you, Supervisor Spiker. So a yes vote if you... affirm the ruling of the chair, a no if you do not.
Thank you.
The ruling of the chair has been affirmed on a 20 yes, 7 no vote. The fee and amendment is ruled out of order. We are back on the ordinance, excuse me, section 1.42, parent 1 of chapter 1, as presented in the packet. Supervisor Feehan.
Just a point of information, don't we have to take a vote on waiving the second reading, and doesn't that have to pass by two-thirds?
We're not there yet.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, we do, though. Supervisor Cotter.
My question was the same, because that was on the floor to waive the second reading.
Yeah, we're trying to find out to suspend the rules for what amendment. So we know what we are voting on now. So the first vote we need to take requires a two-thirds vote of the members present, which is to suspend the rules and allow tonight's vote to be considered for both the first and second reading of the amendment. So that's the first vote. Again, we're going to do everything on the computer tonight. And this will require a two-thirds vote. This is Supervisor Billings, I believe, is the person. Will you formally make the motion to suspend the rules, please? That would be in order. Will you use the microphone, please? Thank you.
I'd like to move to suspend the rules to waive the second reading of the ordinance.
And that's seconded by Supervisor Sobranek. So it's been moved and seconded by Supervisors Billings and Sobranek to suspend the rules and waive the second reading of the ordinance before us. This requires a two-thirds vote on the computer. Debatable, Supervisor Geary.
Right. As you said earlier, you could do this in future months. My point earlier was when you hurriedly bring stuff through, especially an ordinance that has more weight and supposed to have more thoughtfulness to it, when a committee meets at 5:45, we've got to vote on it at 6 o'clock and then waive our opportunity to think about it for a month or maybe get a better amendment or whatever. I don't think it's a good idea. This is not an emergency or anything, so there is no compelling reason to waive the second reading. It should just move first consideration to the subsequent county board meeting.
Supervisor Ebert.
Madam Chair, what would the consequence be of putting this off and doing a normal reading tonight and voting on it next month? What would the consequence be?
The consequence would be probably an incomplete executive committee until it is passed.
An incomplete as in...
The officers will be elected in April at the April 17th organizational meeting. My guess is whoever is county board chair would want to make appointments quickly so that in the May cycle, committees can meet and have full membership, and the chairs would be identified for the May cycle. And that would probably be it for membership on executive committee through the May cycle at least.
So
it would be unclear who else
could be as few as 8 people on the committee.
I think
The consequence.
Yes. And again, I just want to yes. Any other questions?
No, thank you, I think.
Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The intent of the downsizing committee was to clarify, not muddy up the waters, on committee structure, and I think the second reading being taken tonight is so that we can have a fresh start with the new board. And so we'll know where we stand on committees, and unlike the Ten Commandments, ordinances are not written in stone and can be changed at any time. But I'd like to start fresh with the new board with this amendment intact. Thank you.
So Supervisor Wood.
Thank you. In rereading the analysis, I think we're all familiar with how this works. I think most everyone that did speak is in favor of a membership of 9 people on the executive committee so that it would be more inclusive. And so I truly do think it is a housekeeping issue. change that reflects something we're all very familiar with. And to this point, I think we've been pleased with the representation on the executive committee. So I think this finishes something that we started at previous meetings. I would like it to move ahead and be finalized.
Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And perhaps this is the time where my comment about, I too think it was just in this particular case, given the fact that offices were closed on Friday, we received it on Wednesday as members of the executive board in a short time. I'm also a teacher of literature, and one of the most important or piece of literature that I find very enlightening is Sir Thomas More's Utopia, and in it, one thing that they never, ever, ever did was to bring something up and vote on it in the same session. It always had to go to a second session. That decisions made quickly are not generally beneficial, and that's an important part of good democracy.
Supervisor Ebert.
Madam Chair, is there an appropriate motion or amendment that we could vote on this at the next Thursday meeting, or is there not such a... That would give folks a chance to at least think about it. For the 2 weeks, you'd still have your decision, but is that a point of inquiry or something? Is there such a...
It's posted for tonight's agenda as this particular issue, so...
in other words, instead of suspending the rules, I've been waiting a full 30 days, is there a motion that
we'd still need to suspend it? I think the ordinance reads that we vote and then the next regular meeting is the normal course of action. So
would that be the Thursday meeting?
It would be the Tuesday, April 17th. Which would be the organizational meeting.
Okay, so that could, then we could address it at that point.
If it doesn't.
Two-thirds. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you,
Supervisor
Madam
Billings. So on the computer, Supervisor Sobranek.
Yeah, I almost forgot where was that. Was that just for 47 minutes? I was just wondering if it would be in order to call the question.
We are voting on the computer to suspend the rules. This requires a two-thirds vote of members present to suspend the rules and consider tonight both first and second readings on the computer. So the motion to suspend the rules has been approved on a 20-7 vote. The rules have been suspended. Now we need to vote on the computer on the ordinance. So this, if you are in favor of the ordinance as it was in our packets, you would vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. The ordinance has been approved, 22 in favor, 4 opposed, 1 abstention. I do want to correct for the record, the vote total that I read on suspending the rules was actually 19 votes in favor, not 20, but it was still two-thirds of the members present. So that ordinance is approved. Suggestions for future agenda items. Supervisor Geary.
The outgoing ones aren't going to leave early. I'd like the administration. A concern came up about frac sand mining. Could somebody find out and maybe report back to the board? Is there a proposal out there to transport frac sand out of the city of La Crosse? And if there is, I'd like to know where it's being located and what roads or route they're using to get there. Could somebody... And my other one, maybe some update about Hillview Assisted Living, what our census numbers and how that's going.
Okay, so both transporting frac sand out of the city of La Crosse,
right.
And then an update on the Hillview Assisted Living facility.
Yeah, on the La Crosse one, I'd like
census.
To know the if there is, I'd like to know the location and the roads they're going to use to get it there.
Okay. Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you. I don't have anything to add, but I'd like a clarification from Dave. If I introduce an ordinance and I have it amended, say, 5 times or 4 times the material, can we only vote then, the rest of the board, on those amendments and not on any other place in the ordinance?
I think it's only the only one that's up on the
agenda. Yeah, I think the only one that's on the agenda.
That's the only thing we vote on. We can vote on nothing else in the ordinance then.
Yeah, if it's a whole separate... You know, here is 1.42. If you said, 1.41, then I think that's a problem.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Or do you mean in the same one?
Well, I mean, if it was whatever number it was.
Supervisor Spiker has the floor, please.
I propose these changes, but another supervisor wants another change in that same ordinance. Can we do? We can't do that, is what you're saying now, right?
Well, it depends on everything, what the analysis said. I think it
depends
on
the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Other future agenda items? If not, Supervisor Sobranek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The very only thing in county government is that politicians and diapers should be changed often. And for the same reason. Madam Chair, for the last thing, I move adjournment.
Supervisor Sobranek has moved adjournment, seconded by Supervisor Billings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned with the thanks of the chair.